You know how important our speech is, right? You know, God cares about these things, you know. And God is able. You know, we limit God, I believe, so often by, you know, putting him in our own box. And our expectation sometimes falls away. In fact, it does fall short most of the time of who he is. We try to express, we try to put into words the magnitude of the who he is, the glory of God. And I know we fail miserably even in that, even in our praise, but he's Almighty God, you know. He's created all things. How many know that even you are sustained by the word of his power? In the molecular level, everything is sustained by God's word. He spoke, let there be light. The first sound, amen, was the sound of his voice. Amen. And he spoke into the deep, all right? And he said, let there be light. So before there was the visible light, there was first the sound of his voice. Amen. So we hear, faith comes by hearing and hearing the voice of God. Amen. The word of God. So we need to hear and know the voice of the shepherd. So we'll know when he's speaking to us. And if he gives you a word, know that you can take it to the bank in the sense that you can make a withdrawal from heaven on that word. Because God would never promise you something without backing it up. So what we need is to hear. Say, Lord, what are you saying? I want to know. I want to learn your voice. And by the Holy Spirit and the word of God, amen, we come to know the voice of the Lord. And through practical experience as well. How many have thought God was speaking to you before and found out later it wasn't God, it was you? Or maybe even that other voice. You hear people say, well, God told me to do it. No, God wouldn't tell you to do that. Not my God. Amen. Not my Jesus. I don't know what Jesus you're talking about. Amen. But I want to know the true Jesus. Amen. And that's what we're doing is we're actually discovering. It's a discovery process. We're discovering God. We're discovering who he is and who he is in us. When you're born again, you become a new creation. All right. We're not here in a self-help climate today. Amen. We want to be transformed. We want to be changed. We want to become like the Lord. Amen. So God doesn't just improve on the old thing. He doesn't make us better. He makes us new. I'll say it again. He doesn't just make us better. He makes us brand new. Amen. When I was born again, I was brand new. Man, I still had that old nature with me, amen, but something new had taken place in my life. Someone had come to take up residence in my heart, and I was seeing things a whole lot differently, and I was starting to love the things I used to hate and hate the things I used to love. I had a new normal. So we want to have that normal, amen, that is Jesus. If you want to see normal, look at the life of Jesus, amen. I want to be like him when I grow up. And we're growing up through the knowledge of him. We're discovering who he is. Amen. We're supposed to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in the grace, that's the divine influence upon our hearts by the Spirit. Amen. And by the knowledge of the truth through the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word work together to bring a revelation or a revealing of who God really is, of who Jesus really is. Amen. There's a lot of confusion because people are trying to figure out God in their own intellect. You cannot learn God in a classroom. He must be revealed by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And even Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. So if God is drawing you, if you sense a drawing in your heart, obey the voice of the Lord. Amen. Because if God calls you to himself, he's got something good. Amen. God never does bad. All right. He's a good God. He's a good Father. He gives good gifts to his children. Amen. And we should be asking him for those gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, right? From the Father of lights. So we get to come by faith in Jesus' name and what he's done and what he's accomplished for us, not in our own credentials or righteousness, but in his. We can come with confidence before him because of the blood of Jesus, and we can make a withdrawal, amen, from our heavenly bank account. Lord, I need you. I need your grace. I need your help. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. Lord, I need to make a decision. Lord, I'm getting out of bed. Help me. Amen. Lord, I'm getting in my car. Guide me safely, Lord. You know what I'm saying? It's in all your ways acknowledging him, having a relationship, an ongoing walk with the Lord. So we cannot be a positive influence in this world until we know who we are. And so there's an identity crisis. People are trying to discover who they are. And they're going after all kinds of weird ideas that the enemy will introduce to them, because he's always trying to get us to be distracted by other things, lesser things. And he's trying to pervert what God has made. Oh, amen. That's what he does. That's why when you see the pagan gods, they're always something weird, right? I mean, snakes coming out of the head and multiple hands and, you know, horses with a unicorn, right? And with wings. The enemy takes what God has made, which is good, and perverts it. Amen. And if people don't know the Lord, then they will make a god that suits themselves. They'll create a god from their own imagination. And if you are not in the Holy Spirit, if you're not in Christ, then your imagination is going to be influenced by Satan. And so you're going to create a god that fits you, but may not be the true God. So we need to make sure that the light that's within us is the true light of Christ. Amen. And not that false light that the enemy will fool people with. Well, I saw the tunnel and I saw the light. Well, what kind of light were you actually seeing? Amen. Just because it's light doesn't mean it's... As a matter of fact, the Bible says that Satan himself appears as a what? An angel of light. So we have to be wise and discerning. But we cannot be wise and discerning if we don't have a relationship with the Lord and the Holy Spirit, who's the one who will help us to see clearly. And that is the problem today, is there's such a lack of discernment, such a lack of being able to make wise judgments, because we're trying in our own human intellect to figure out things. Without knowing the Creator, you won't know who you are. Why you're here, how you're made, why, how God designed you. Amen. So the title of this message is True Identity, Part 3. How many figured that out already? But Jesus came to restore us back, listen, to our true identity as sons of God. So, listen, the Son of God, right, became the Son of Man, so that we, as the sons of men, may become sons of God. The Son of God became the Son of Man, that we, as sons of men, right, may become sons of God. Amen. God came to restore us back to our original purpose and function, amen, because we had been separated through sin, amen, and our minds became darkened through that. Our imaginations are now, because of the fall, open to all kinds of good and evil. That's why crazy, nasty things happen in the world, is because man has been opened up to evil. He has the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. So the Lord came to rescue us from that condition that we are in, to restore us to a place of being sons in his kingdom. Amen. This is what we call good news, is that God came to rescue us from ourselves. And we have to realize that we're a mess before we'll come to him for help. Amen. So the word of God helps us to identify the mess that we are. When we hear the truth, amen, we begin to realize that while I fall way short of God's glory, of his perfect standard, amen. And even though I may try to live up to that standard, I find in myself the inability to do that. I don't have the ability to do that in myself. So the first Adam lost that position with the Lord because of sin. As ambassador, as representative of heaven, the last Adam, Jesus, delivered us from slavery to sin by his death, burial, and resurrection, and brought us into the kingdom of heaven. He's translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of who? His dear Son. Ephesians 2:18 says, now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Amen. You notice it didn't say because you're so well behaved. No, but because of what Christ has done for us. You see, it's the Holy Spirit in us that changes the way we think. And when we change the way that we think, amen, we live differently. Today, we can walk in complete freedom from the power of sin and Satan. Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. And remember, that's a mixture of Aramaic and Greek, meaning like dearest father. It is a title that only a son in the household could address his father with. All right, so a hired servant could not address the household, the father of the household that way, but a son could. Amen? And so when we're born again, we're restored to fellowship, now we can call on him as Father, our Father in heaven. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then, listen, an heir of God through Christ. What does that mean? That means that everything God has is mine. I'm an heir. I'm an heir to the throne because of what Jesus did for me. Everything I have is his. Everything he has is mine. Amen. My citizenship, amen, my first citizenship is in heaven. I'm a citizen of U.S., amen, but my first citizenship is in heaven now because I've been reconciled or brought back into harmony with God through the blood of Jesus, amen, and I'm no longer a slave to sin, but now I'm a son who can walk in freedom because whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed, amen. So we become an official heir in the kingdom of God, and that means we have full rights and we also have responsibilities as sons. Would you say amen? All right. And positionally in Christ, we're no longer idolaters. We're no longer thieves. We're no longer liars, drug addicts, alcoholics, etc. I mean, you could add the list. Amen. When you come into Christ, that's not who you are in your new identity. But the enemy wants to keep you bound in your thinking that that's who you still are. Because what you believe is, will determine how you live your life. If you believe you're an addict, you'll live as an addict. If you believe you're free, you can walk in that freedom. Because what you believe, you give strength to. If you believe a lie, you give strength to it to dominate you. Amen. That's why faith needs to be in Christ alone. And not in my ability to live good. But I put my faith in Christ who empowers me to live right. Amen. So we need to enforce this in our lives. That's what we're supposed to do. God's already accomplished it for us. Just like he delivered Israel out of bondage. Amen. God did it. They didn't deliver themselves. He delivered them out, but then they still had a slave mentality. So they had to be renewed in their minds. Amen. And the word of God was going to wash them, and God was going to teach them how to trust him, how to learn and who he is, learn his ways so they could walk in them. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation. This is in the new covenant. When you're born again, this is who you are, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim what? The praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Did you know if you are a child of God, then his praises should be on your lips. You should be giving him thanks and praise. Amen. When you praise someone, you do it audibly. You don't go to a game and go, No. You give praise right to your team, all right? How many know God deserves, right? Our greatest, our highest praise. And God inhabits praise and is glorious. And when you begin to learn how to really open up your heart, get over the opinions of people, what people are looking at you and thinking about you, amen. What matters is that I bless God, amen, and I give God thanks for his goodness in my life. Do you know that Thanksgiving, once again, it keeps the door of favor open in your life? If you start to grumble and complain about everything, I mean, God say, not going there. Amen. But if you have a grateful attitude, even in the little things, the simple things of life, that keeps the door of favor open. Hallelujah. If all you've got to eat is manna, thank God for the manna. So God wants us to live, listen, from the finished work of Christ rather than living towards some unattainable goal of measuring up to God's standard of righteousness. I'll read it again. God wants us to live from the finished work of Christ rather than living towards some unattainable goal of measuring up to God's standard of righteousness. So instead of living towards, we live from. We live from the new creation. We live from who we are now in the new creation rather than some lofty goal that's up ahead of us. We know the goal, amen, is to see Jesus someday and hear him say, well done. Amen. But well done means that we have faith in him, because what is the victory that overcomes the world? Our faith. Our faith in Christ alone. Amen. Not in our achievements, but in his mercy, in his goodness, his grace, we put our faith. Amen. Amen. God wants to be believed. That's New Testament. God wants to be believed. You don't achieve righteousness. You receive it by faith in what God has promised you. He has promised the gift of eternal life to all who believe. Amen. I believe and therefore I can receive. Believing is receiving. So instead of living towards, we live from a position of having been made right with God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. How are we made righteous? In Christ. Amen. Romans 6:11, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, I'm dead to sin. Anybody here dead to sin? Everybody should say amen. Amen. If you're in Christ, you are dead to sin. Amen. It's no longer your master. You're no longer under its power. Amen. The only power it has is the power that you give it. Don't give it. There. Thank you, sister. You're jumping right ahead here with me. Verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign, right? There it is, in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. He said, don't let it reign. Verse 13, and do not present your members, your body, right, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. In other words, you don't have to, so don't do it, because God says no. But present yourselves instead, what, to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. In verse 14, why? For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. So listen, instead of living from a place of getting better, start living from the place of having been justified. As having been reconciled. As having been set free from sin. As heirs of God in Christ. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been, living from the place of what? Having been, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Come on. See, we're being renewed in our mind. We're discovering what has actually happened. Chapter 6, verse 22 of Romans. But now having been set free from sin. Do you see it? Having beens. We need to live from the having beens. Having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God. You have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. I'm under new management, new ownership. I belong to Jesus. He belongs to me now. Amen. Now in Christ, we rely upon God's power to maintain our freedom from all spiritual bondage. 1 John 4:4 says, for you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. And them here in context is speaking about those who are in alignment with Satan. The spirit of Antichrist. He says, you've overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. When you're in Christ, amen, you are in a place of victory. That's why the Bible says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. We're more than conquerors. We're overcomers. Because of Christ, amen, and the victory he won on our behalf. And if Christ is in you, then he is greater than the outer man. He is greater than those even in the world. He's greater than your adversary, Satan, amen, and all of his demons. Christ is Lord of all, amen. He has all power in heaven and on earth. He has all authority, amen. He is King of kings. He is Lord. Hallelujah. So he's telling you and I as his children, listen, I've set you free. You belong to me now. Amen. Now I want you to enforce in your life the victory that I won for you. And don't allow yourself to be given over to the enemy anymore, because how many know he has nothing good for you? Amen. He baits you with things that look pretty and shiny, but in the end, it results in death. He's saying, here's a quick fix for you. Well, how does that work for you after a while? The quick fix is now fixing you, isn't it? It's controlling you. So when we get past this servant mentality and embrace the title of son or daughter, then we will serve the Lord with a grateful and willing heart. Instead of having to serve, we get to serve. When we're born again, we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. When you're born again, serving God becomes a pleasure because you're serving the one you love. How many like working for people that you love? How many like working for somebody who's harsh and indifferent to you and maybe some corporate entity you don't even know they are? You're just out here making widgets, amen, and well, you got to do it because you got to survive, amen. But it's always so much better if it's a family business, amen. And you're working for people that, hey, you love them, they love you, amen. And that's what it's like when we're serving God. We're serving the one that we love and the one that loves us. And he allows us to be a part of that. He allows us to serve him. We get to serve him. It's not I have to. It's I get to. I get to serve my Father. I get to bring pleasure to my Father. Amen. I get to love my Father back for what he's done for me. I worship him. I love him back. Hallelujah. Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church, Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit, where? In the inner man. God wants to do what? Strengthen us with might through his spirit in the inner man. So the most important part of you and I is what? Their inner life, right? The inner man. Now, some of us are really good at taking care of the shell and putting paint on it and making it look pretty. Amen. But what God looks at is the heart. Amen. Nothing wrong with making the outside look pretty. Amen. But you got to make sure that the inside is pretty. That the inner man is in good standing with God. Amen. That things are right between you and your maker. That you have peace with God in your heart. Because that's what God is after, is your heart. If he has your heart, then he has the rest of you. So the outer man is to serve the interests of the inner man, who is united with Christ. What's inside of you is to influence what's outside of you. So we're living from the inside out. If you're not in communication with God in your spirit, then you will have little outward effect for Christ. That is why prayer and worship is so important. I must be in communication with the Lord. I must stay connected to the Lord. He is my life. He is my source of hope, my source of strength. It's Christ alone. Hallelujah. God's trying to wean us off of ourselves and living an independent life from him. Are you hearing me? Because he knows how that ends. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end, it is the way of death. Amen. So many of us have made decisions in life thinking it was a good idea, only to regret it later. At the time, it seemed to make sense. But the Bible says, don't be wise in your own understanding. Don't just rely upon your human intellect. You need the mind of Christ. You need the Spirit of God, amen, to give you some light on the subject, to reveal to you what is good and what is not, what is true and what is false. Truth is what's real. Amen? Truth is what's really real. We want authenticity, amen? We don't want to be duped. We don't want to receive a lie as though it were true. That would be called deception. So John 4:23, Jesus said, for the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, can somebody say true worshipers, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, It didn't say God is spirits. Amen? Like there are many. But God is spirit. So when we're born again, we're no longer of this world, though we live in the world. So as God's spiritual sons and daughters, we offer spiritual sacrifices to God. So as the priesthood in the Old Testament would bring, right, offerings to God, sacrifices to God, right, animal and grain offerings. And today in the New Testament, we bring spiritual sacrifices. Amen. Because we are united with him in the spirit. All right. And so these are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So as a believer, I am a priest. I don't have to go to a priest. Amen. I am a priest. Amen. And I go to the Most High Priest. Right. We have a priest in the heavens, don't we? Our great high priest, his name is Jesus. He is the intermediator between God and man. He is the only way to the Father. So we come to the Father through Jesus the Son. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. There are not many methods and ways. He says, I am the way. I am the door. And only through Christ can we enter into life. And only through Christ can we have fellowship with the Father in the Spirit. Only through Christ can we live the truth. Are you hearing me? Not trying to attain it, but we live from a place of authenticity because Christ is in you and Christ is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. So in contrast to these animal burden meal offerings of the Mosaic Law, the spiritual sacrifices of the New Testament, and I'm going to give you a couple. Are you ready? The first one in Romans 12:1, the most obvious and the most important, because you've got to first understand that when you are born again, amen, you no longer own yourself. You belong to Jesus. You're his property. So we must offer what? Our bodies. That is the spiritual sacrifices to give ourselves now back to the Lord, which is our reasonable service, right? And then there is the sacrifice of praise, and that is Hebrews 13:15. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So what are we doing this morning as we're gathering? We're offering to God a sacrifice of praise, offering to him the fruit of our lips, gratitude, boasting on our God, amen, declaring who he is, hallelujah. And then there is the sacrifice of good works, Hebrews 13:16. So, yeah, we're saved not by good works, but saved for good works. All right. Now, there's the sacrifice of giving as well. God is a giver because God is a lover. And so as his people, we should have a giving heart. If Christ is in you, he will, right, motivate you to give, to love, to serve, to bless. All right. So the sacrifice of service is also our spiritual sacrifice. We're offering God ourselves. Amen. But we serve him. Paul spoke of his ministry to the Gentiles as a priestly offering. And that's in Romans 15:16. So these sacrifices are what God accepts. Okay. Only from those, by the way, who are in Christ. So there are a lot of people who are doing good works, but their works will not remain. Why? Because they're not done in Christ. Some people think if I do enough good works, God will like me more and receive me. No, the problem is sin. You and I are sinful, amen, apart from him. And therefore, a sinful person cannot be in the presence of the holy God. And that's why Jesus came, amen, to bridge that gap, to become our sacrifice. God took upon, right, laid upon Jesus the sins of all of us so that we could go free. And now we could come with confidence before him. Have you confessed your sins to God? Have you asked God to forgive you? Did you know that he did? Amen. So receive that. Put the stop notice on yesterday. Amen. And it's time to move forward in your life and quit living out of guilt and shame and condemnation. If you're in Christ, amen, you've been redeemed. You've been set free from the power of sin, amen. And all you got to do now is say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And He will, amen, and walk in that freedom. And by the way, you don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to come to me as a pastor and confess your sins, amen. You go directly to the great high priest, Jesus Christ, amen, who is there. He's the way to the Father. And He pleads your case before the throne of God. We have an advocate with the Father. We have a defense attorney. Hallelujah. Not only is He the Savior, but He's our defense. He is my defense, and I shall not be moved. When our hearts are fixed on the Lord, we become more and more like Him. So this is, we need to shift our focus to relationship, worshiping God in the Spirit. Amen. Giving praise, giving thanks, offering ourselves, doing life together with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Being filled with the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the more that we come to know Him, the more we understand who He is in us and who we are in Him. That is our true identity as sons and daughters. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, remember Moses had to put a veil over his face because of the glory of God, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. The mirror is really speaking of the, you know, the laver of that they would wash in the, you know, and it had brass mirrors in it. The priest would have to wash in the water. Amen. So when they looked into the water, they would see a reflection, what, of themselves, because of the mirrors. All right. And so when we look into that, it speaks of the word of God, and we look into the perfect law of liberty. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. We're seeing, and we're being washed by the water of the word. So we're looking into the word of God, and the word of God is Christ. Come on. Amen. The letter is to point us to the person so we may know Him. Amen. And then as we look to the Lord, amen, then we begin to see who we truly are in Him. Because without that revelation, we don't know. There are many Christians who do not even try to discover who they are. There are many people that just, they get in the door, they think salvation is the end game. But as long as I got my soul insurance, that's the beginning point of a life of awe and wonder and miracles and beauty in the Lord. Amen. What an amazing journey it's been since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. And there's more to come. We keep saying that in a prayer meeting, more to come. Hallelujah. Lord, bring the more. Because God is an extravagant God. Come on. He wants to lavish His grace upon your life. He wants to bless you with His favor. He just wants you to get in alignment with Him. Amen. Submit yourself to Him. Trust His word. Listen to His voice. He'll lead you in the way you should go. Amen. And when He says no, it's no. When He says yes, it's yes. It's a relationship. So as we worship the Lord, amen, we are empowered. Our minds are illuminated, our souls are restored, and we're able to see things from God's perspective because of the light that He brings. All right, now listen. The Bible says that we are being transformed, verse 18, into the same image of who? Christ, from glory to glory. All right, this is a transforming process. It takes us from one degree of glory to another. And it's not like the fading glory under the old covenant. Excuse me, but an ever-increasing glory. Today, we live in a place of ever-increasing glory. We're in a discovery process. Isn't it amazing that God is saying, listen, the heaven is open to you. Amen? The door is open. There is a, what's that, walk-in policy? How do they say that? Open door policy. As a child of God, we have an open door policy with our Father. So we can come in and spend time with Him and discover more and more, wow, what an amazing Father. What an amazing place this is in the Lord, in the Spirit. And the Lord begins to show us things that we could never know. Amen. That natural man could never comprehend or even be privy to. But God wants to reveal them to us by His Spirit. So he's saying, sky is the limit. The door is open. Come. Amen. There are things that I want to show you. There are things I want to reveal to you. There are things I want to reveal to you about yourself and about myself. And as you come to know me as Father, you will know who you are as son, as daughter. Are you hearing me? And when you know your identity, you will live in that identity. You'll live from that identity. Amen. You won't be living out of Adam anymore, out of the old nature. You'll understand that I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to that life. Amen. When I'm born again, I become a new creation in Christ Jesus. So as we worship God, we're empowered. Our minds are illuminated. Our souls are restored. So that's why we sing and we pray in the Holy Spirit. That's why we offer praise and thanks to God. Try it. You'll like it. I know sometimes people come and they don't sing. They don't join in. But I'm not here to shame anybody. I'm just here to say, listen, you're missing out. God wants you to step out of yourself. I got to do that. You know, how many believe I was a shy kid? I was a shy kid growing up, and I'm still a quiet person, naturally speaking. Amen. But you know what the Lord has been teaching me through these years is, Keith, get over yourself. And then you can be everything I want you to be for me. Amen. So don't make it about you. Don't look at you. Don't get self-conscious. When you minister, you can't be self-conscious. You got to be outward focused. Amen. Amen. So you open your heart to the Lord, right? And as we worship in the Spirit, we receive instructions from the Lord. How many here today say, you know, I need to hear from God. I need an answer about something that I'm dealing with right now. Do you know that God wants to reveal that to you? Sometimes it's as simple as asking. Other times you're going to take a little time to seek the Lord. Are you hearing me? Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. And he meant to continue to ask, continue to seek, and continue to knock. And the door, what? Will be opened unto you. All right, so you got to get desperate. There's got to be a holy desperation in the Spirit. Amen. You want to be filled. You want to be really blasted in the Holy Spirit. Have a desperate heart. Have a hungry heart. Amen. Amen. Come on. You can't just like crack the door and say, well, that's enough. You'd be dry as dust and powerless. Amen. You won't have enough power to blow the fuzz off a peach, I heard it said one time. But we need the power of God in our lives. Amen. In order to be effective witnesses, we need to be in a place of receptivity, of openness, and a hungry heart will be satisfied. How many know the river of God flows to the low places? It flows to the humble. The humble are the ones that know they need God. I need His grace. I need His strength. Amen. I can't do this without God. I'm just a quiet person. Amen. Naturally. But when God gets a hold of me, hallelujah, I can talk. The everlasting gospel. But you see, we can't make it about ourselves. It's about Jesus now. I lived my life for me. Now I want to live for God. Now I want to live for others. Elijah was a worshiper. You know, when we worship God, He reveals to us where He wants us to go and what He wants us to do. When you get into the Holy Spirit, get into that realm of the Spirit, you got to pray into that place. Amen. Where you're in the glory, in the presence, in the rest of the Lord. Amen. And all of a sudden things become clear. Now you begin to hear the Lord speaking in that still small voice. So you'll know the voice of the shepherd and He'll give you instructions from there. Elijah received divine direction. He was a worshiper. That divine direction led to divine provision. 1 Kings 17, you can look it up. God continually took care of Elijah. Amen. Because Elijah depended on the Lord. And through worship, we're also able to receive revelation as to the will of God for our lives. So you and I were made for such a time as this. I've been saying that a lot lately. Amen. Because it's true. We think about it. We could have been born any time in history, but you were born for such a time as this. Amen. And God's got a target on you because God wants you for Him. God is recruiting us for His kingdom and for His purposes. Hallelujah. And let me just say, it's an exciting life. If your Christianity is stale and boring, you're not a true Christian. Or are you going to some dead church, amen, where ain't nothing happening there? Why? Because, well, if you're not open to the move of God, God's not going to kick the door down, amen. If people don't want the Holy Spirit to move among them and to work in them, amen, He won't just force Himself on us. But here we're saying, Lord, we need You. We know, Lord God, that this is bigger than we are. What we're facing in this world is bigger than we are. The things that are happening, amen, are happening quickly, amen. And they're intensifying. And we're seeing the end is coming, amen, of the way things have been, hallelujah. But we know the end for us is glory, amen. For us to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'm dead to this world, amen. I'm living for that which will be. Store up for yourself treasure in heaven, the Bible says. So you and I were made for this time. God chose when and where we would be born. How many decided where you would be born and what you would look like and what kind of characteristics you'd have, what race you would be? No, none of us had that choice. God decided, I like variety in my garden. I like all the races. I created them all. But we're all from one blood, by the way. Amen. You can do a transfusion. It doesn't matter what race you are. So God said, I like variety. So should we. Amen. It would be boring if we're all the same. Somebody say amen. Oh, I think my dogs think I'm boring. Moving right along. But salvation is just the starting point of a life that's filled with wonder. It's a life of adventure, of discovery in the Holy Spirit. Salvation, again, is not the end game. It's the beginning of our walk with God. And it doesn't matter how long you've been in Christ, God still has a purpose for you today. He wants to live out through you. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, right? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? See, people believe in Jesus, but the question is Christ in you? Have you received the Holy Spirit? And have you been immersed? Have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? This is a baptism of power for the service of the Lord, so we can effectively serve the Lord. Anybody can serve, you know, in certain capacities within even the church. Are you hearing me? We can read out of a curriculum book or whatever. Amen. But God wants you to prophesy. And God wants you to move in the gifts of the Spirit. God wants you healing the sick, casting out demons. Come on. God wants you raising the dead. God wants you moving in the power of His Holy Spirit, so that there's a demonstration of His Spirit and power. Amen. And that the works of Satan are destroyed. How many know the devil hates it when people move in the power of the Holy Spirit? Because he's got a lot of people convinced that he's the one that has all the power. And that's why there's such a rise in witchcraft and other things. Because people are thinking, well, that's where the power's at. I'm going after that. How many know that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world? How many know that God has all power? How many know that Satan himself was a created being? They're not in the same weight class. Amen. One is creator, the other is creation. So why should we bow down, amen, to other gods when we can worship the Most High God? I remember the Satanist came into one of my meetings back when I was in New York, and he was trying just to throw himself around and intimidate or whatever. And I asked him this question. I said, well, why would you worship the creation when you could worship the Creator? He didn't have an answer. Amen. And that's what's the thing. This is it. Listen, this gospel is not in word only, but this is a gospel of power. God wants to demonstrate His power. Amen. That He is God. Amen. Elijah called on the Lord. Amen. On Mount Carmel. And there was a coming together, a convergence of heaven and earth. Amen. Yep. Yep. And God showed up. Amen. And showed off, if you will. And the prophets of Baal ran with their tail between their legs, if you will. Amen. Because God showed up. The God who answered by fire came down. Amen. Hallelujah. And proved that He is the true God. And we serve the true God, amen, and His Son, Jesus Christ, who has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus is Lord of all. Hallelujah. And we worship Him. We bow before Him. Hallelujah. And we call upon His name. Hallelujah. Because God wants to invade, amen, the darkness of this world. He wants to release heaven through you and through me. Not just from the evangelist or the pastor, but through the body of Christ. God wants to release heaven. But you've got to be in harmony with Him. You've got to have a relationship with Him. You've got to be in Christ, first of all. Amen? And you need to have a heart that pursues Him, that seeks Him. Hallelujah. Salvation, healing, deliverance is our heritage. Listen, it's our birthright in Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, I'm almost finished. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. In other words, we're supposed to be obvious that we are followers of Jesus. He wants us to live from the finished work of Christ. As being lights in this world, He wants us to light up the night. We're supposed to be lighting up the night. We're not supposed to allow darkness to trample on us. We're not supposed to be intimidated by the darkness. I'm not afraid of the darkness. Whom shall I fear? If God be for me, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid of the darkness. Whom shall I fear? If God be for me, what shall we say? What shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid anymore. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. We're not living towards, we're living from the new creation. As sons and daughters in the household of God. Amen. Having access to our Father's throne simply by calling out His name. Call in the name of Jesus this morning. Would you bow your heads? Hallelujah. God wants you to be free today. God has been speaking to hearts today. He's been speaking to me today. And God wants you to be free. Indeed, He wants you to be free from all demonic oppression. He wants you to be free from every stronghold of addiction. He wants you to be free from the fear of death and from the fear of Satan. He wants you to be free indeed. If you will turn to Christ with your whole heart in repentance and faith today, God will break the strongholds. God will deliver your soul from the snare of the fowler, of the wicked one. Lord, we pray, release that breaker anointing right now, God, in this place. Lord, we're asking for heaven to come down. For the glory of the Lord from heaven, let your glory fall right now. Lord, upon us in this place, captivate every heart and every mind in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, if there's someone here today that is not saved, not going to heaven, I pray, Lord, that You will reach out to them right now and draw them, Lord. I ask You to forgive them, and I ask You to save them, Lord God. And I ask You to give them the courage to make a stand for You, Lord God, and to come to You and to bow before You. If you're here today and you're not sure of your salvation, you can know today that you are a son and daughter of God. If you're here today and you're sick, you can live here free. You can leave here free today. If you're here today and you're bound by addiction, if you're bound by the demonic, you can be free today because God is more than able to make all grace abound to you if you will humble yourself, admit it, and be willing to come. We want to pray for you this morning. And I want you to be bold enough to make a stand for Jesus. You know, Jesus said, if you stand for me, I'll stand for you. If you confess me, I'll confess you. But if you deny me before men, I will also deny you. I'm asking that you take a stand for Jesus today. If you're here today and you say, you know, I'm willing to take a stand for Jesus, then I want you to stand up. I'm willing to take a stand for Jesus. Just stand up. That means anybody. Amen. I'm willing to take a stand for Jesus. Would you just stand up right now? Amen. And so if you're here today and you're not sure of your salvation, I want to invite you to come down and we're going to pray with you. All right. And that you can leave out of here today assured that Christ is in you. All right. If you're here today and you're saying, you know what, I just need somebody to pray for me because I'm struggling right now with some things in my life. And I need some brothers and sisters just to pray for me for strength. I want you to come as well. Just come down and believe God right now that he's here to meet your need. Be bold enough. Amen. Humble yourself. Don't worry about what people think. Would you just make your way down here? God wants to meet you here. Just make your way down to the front here. We're going to pray for you. If you're here today and you say, you know what, I need healing in my body. I want you to come as well. Just come make your way down here. Hallelujah. And we're going to believe God for your healing and for your deliverance. Come on. God's moving on your heart. Don't deny that voice that's calling you right now to him. Hallelujah. Tomorrow is not promised. Today is the day of salvation. You must move when God is moving upon you. You need salvation. Make your way down here now. Today could be your last day. You could take your last breath today and spend eternity in hell. God wants to rescue you. He wants to deliver you from that. That's why Jesus died, to save us. Amen. Jesus wants you to be free. If you're bound by spirits in any way, come on down right now. We're going to pray for you and we're going to ask God to break that off of you. Hallelujah. If you're bound by an addiction today, I want you to be bold enough, strong enough to say, you know what? I'm going to come down here and I'm going to believe God for my deliverance today. Come on, just step out from where you're at. Maybe somebody needs to help somebody get down here. But you, God is moving on you right now. I want you to come. All right. There you go. I knew there was somebody. Anybody else that's dealing with addictions? Maybe you feel like you need further deliverance in your life. You know, God has been doing some work in you. You felt some things coming out of you, but there's other things that are still there that you want to be free from. Would you humble yourself and come on down? We're going to pray for you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.